there was a Sunday school teacher, and she was reading the story of the Transfiguration. And as she was reading, she noticed that there was a little boy who seemed to be confused. When she was finished, she asked him, "Johnny, why don't you tell us where Jesus was in the story?" He replied, "Oh, he was on the mountain." "Yes, that's right," said the teacher. "Do you remember why he was up there?" Johnny answered with a confused look, "I guess that's where the arithmetic class was held." The teacher looked at him and she wondered what he meant. "What do you mean, arithmetic class?" "Well," Johnny replied, "the Bible said that Jesus went up on the mountain and there he began to figure." Yeah. The teacher smiled and said, "The scripture said he went up onto the mountain and there he became transfigured, not began to figure." Today, as we continue our series in Luke, we'll be looking at the transfiguration of Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. And if you remember from last week, we talked about Jesus and he's addressing his disciples about the cost of discipleship. And that is right where our text picks up at verse 28. It says, "About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid. They were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, 'This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him.' When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen." I'm going to stop there for a moment. Tim, this is nowhere near there, so I'll pick up and I'll let you know. I'm distracted right now. I can't even read the stuff and I know what's going on. I was over there and I got really, really nervous. And that's why I got up in the middle of the last song and walked out and I found myself so shaking. Okay, I'm nervous whenever I get in front of you. Okay, I always am. But I'm really nervous right now and distracted. And so I got up and walking around and I ended up, okay, too much information, I know, but I got to clear my mind so I can get back to that. And I was walking around and I had to get up and walk around. And when I did, I realized I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom and it's really strange and I'm sorry because I didn't get permission for any of this. But while I was in the bathroom, I got to meet Tony. Okay, it doesn't mean anything to any of you, but I got to meet Tony. Tony, it was good to meet you. And then just to say hi while we're in the bathroom, okay? Great place to have fellowship and meet with people, okay? They're all trying to figure out who Tony is. Tony, don't worry about it. They'll find out eventually. But I got to meet Tony while I was there. So I don't know. Maybe I need to go run some more or something. I'm just distracted as we do this. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you for this time. Thank you for being able to be in your house and in your presence and to relax. Father, I thank you for family and friends. Father, as we have spent time worshiping you, singing praises to you, I know that you're here with us. And right now, Father, I just ask that you calm my heart and my spirit. That you speak your words. That each one of us can hear from you. Father, we commit this time to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for indulging me for a couple minutes. I'll get back to him. Here we go. Now, Johnny, I just read for you the Transfiguration and told you a story about Johnny, and he wasn't totally getting it. But I'm sure that there are many of us who do not totally understand or totally get the Transfiguration as well. Yeah, there we go. The gospel says, as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. You see, Jesus, he was transformed. He was changed. And in the process, two figures from the past came to meet with him, Moses and Elijah. See, this was a marvelous experience for Jesus because it gave him the heavenly assurance that he was on the right path, that the path to Jerusalem and the path to the cross. He was assured of his place in the Father's plan of salvation, as two others appeared with him who had been on that exact same plan. You see, we can read the story of the Transfiguration, and we can understand the words, but what does it all mean? What does it mean for us, this Transfiguration? I think the best way to understand it for us this morning, so that we're not as confused as Johnny was, is to look at three key words: glory, praise, and movement. The first word is glory. It's a word that is actually used in our text. It means awe, wonder, splendor. Christ, in all of his glory, means all of his godly might. In all of the splendor of heaven, in this transfiguration, Jesus becomes, again, as God. As John's gospel says, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus was the Word of God, and now that Word of God became like God again. He became the King and the Lord of life. He broke forth from this life to what he really was: God Almighty. Have you ever had to fly in an airplane on a rainy, a stormy day? The plane takes off and you're climbing. And as you're climbing, you can see the rain as it's going past the airplane. Sometimes and you get in some of these and there's bolts of thunder that are coming down and you're sitting there as the plane is climbing and the captain gives it the throttle and you're sitting there and you're kind of hanging on and maybe the plane is moving back and forth a little bit. And some of you are cringing just at the thought of it, I know. Right, Lisa? Yeah, she doesn't fly very well. And so the plane is climbing and you're just hanging on and it continues to climb. And then all of a sudden, it breaks through the cloud. And you're above the cloud, and you can look down, you can see the dark storm clouds underneath you, and sometimes you can even start to see them glow as the lightning is striking. But that's below you. See, you are now up above the clouds, and the sun is shining, it's bright up there. It's peaceful. It's quiet. You're no longer tense. Or at least not as tense. You can relax a little bit. You can enjoy the ride and the peace and the quiet, the beauty of that moment. You see, the Transfiguration was just that kind of experience for Jesus and the disciples. They, for a moment, left the clouds, the rain, the brokenness of this life to go up to the mountain to be with Jesus. They went to see where it was that he had come from, and where they were going to be able to go because of him. Have you ever had a moment like that? A moment where you just knew you were in the presence of God? You could just feel his spirit moving. Feel his power there. Yes, there is an awe, a beauty, a glory about Christ which fills our lives with peace and contentment. That glory gives our lives the quiet and the radiant peace, which allows us to have the strength and the courage to battle all the brokenness of life that goes on around us. There was a man who was asked by a pastor to come to church for four Sundays. You see, he was a skeptic, and the pastor just knew that if he came, then maybe he would be able to turn his life over to Christ and accept him as his Lord and Savior. At the end of the fourth week, the man approached the pastor and he said, "I have given my life to Jesus Christ." The pastor was pleased and smiling. He asked the man, "So tell me about it." The man looked at the pastor and he said, "Well, Pastor, it wasn't your preaching." The man paused for a moment and then he went on. He said, "On the third Sunday morning, I saw an elderly lady fall down on the icy road. I stopped to help her, and I saw the radiance in her face, even in the midst of such difficulty. So I asked her what gave her life such a radiant glow, and she simply said, 'If you knew my Lord Jesus Christ and felt his love in your life the way I do, then you would have the same look of radiance on your face.'" The man said, "I became a Christian because of the glow on that woman's face. It was like a light that was shining into the darkness of my soul. The glory, the light, the radiance of the transfiguration, it is still with us as we allow the Spirit of Christ to enter our lives and transform us into his children. As that glory, as that awe, that wonder, that radiance, as it transforms our lives, we become happy. We are filled with joy. And we want to sing praises to God for his act of deliverance, his transforming act in our lives." You see, and that brings us to our second word, praise. There's a William Wadsworth poem. It's called Ten Turn Abbey. It is a very, very long poem. But I want to read just a small part of it for you. He writes, "I have felt a presence that disturbs me with the joy of elevated thought, a sense of sublime, of something far more deeply interfused, whose dwelling is the light of setting suns and the round ocean and the living air and the blue sky and the mind of man, a motion and a spirit that impels all thinking things, all objects of all thought, and rolls through all things." That presence that Wadsworth was talking about is the presence of God himself through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit entering our souls. And then as we drop to our knees in an act of worship, as we praise him for his glory, as we are filled with his love, as we feel his transforming power, we come to the knowledge that Jesus is actually God himself in the flesh for us. And then, and only then, do we turn to him with our praise, our joy, our spirits filled with a loud voice, praising God Almighty for his wonderful deeds. Then as we accept Jesus as God incarnate, as God with flesh on, then the glory becomes brighter and brighter. And as the glory shines more, the praises become louder and louder, louder and louder. As the shouts of praise become louder and louder, our acceptance, our welcoming of Christ becomes deeper and deeper in our souls. And the cycle continues, because the life of a Christian is not meant to be a static one, but it is one that is always changing, growing, maturing, accepting, comprehending, and absorbing the love of Christ for the new people, the new self, in vibrant ways and in different ways as we continue to grow and to develop. There's a pastor in one of the Osberg sermon series who says the following: "But not until God stepped into his own creation as a man, not until he came to be our brother, not until he suffered for our guilt and sin and died by crucifixion, not until he broke the death grip and destroyed the force of hell, had revealed himself in all of his love, compassion, mercy, pity, grace that satisfies our desperate need. I see in each of us, as he makes this his own confession, I see my Lord not as a man who points the way, but as the God who is the way. Not as a teacher who dropped in to teach some truth, but as the God who is the truth. Not as a revealer of a better way, but as the God who is the life. You see, that then would bring us to our third word, which is movement. We encounter the glory of God. We praise him, for it is as we learn to accept him and praise him. And then he calls us to listen and then to act. The text actually says, a voice came from the cloud saying, this is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him. You see, there is a sense in which we must listen to Jesus as he guides us down the journey of life. His speech is always the same. He tells us of the love that the Father has for us. And then he challenges us to love each other the same way. You see, there is a plan, a map, a direction. Direction to our lives as we listen to Jesus Christ and we follow him. Do you know that Peter, he wanted to stay on the mountain, to stay in the peace and the glory of the moment. A little earlier I asked you, have you ever had a moment where you just knew that you were in the presence of Christ? Where you were just there. Well, Lisa and I, we have the opportunity at times in the past to take some of the youth to acquire the fire. It is a youth gathering and we meet at the Memorial Coliseum. And to be seated there as the auditorium is filled with thousands upon thousands of young people and to see them worshiping Jesus Christ and surrendering their life, that is a moment. A moment when I just want to sit there and you're just filled with the Spirit and just know that God is moving and His Spirit is in that place. Just want to stay there and bask in that. Peter did in the Transfiguration and he wanted to stay there. But you know that Jesus told him, no, you cannot stay there. As much as we want to, we can't stay there. You see, they would descend from the mountain back to the people, back to the pain, back to the brokenness, to the heartache, back to where the ministry needed to be done. There is a hymn that tells us of the power of Christ. As the glory of Christ brings us to sing praises, as we accept him as our Lord, and then he moves us out into action. Listen to these lines. They're from the Battle Hymn of the Republic. What are you two laughing at? Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosoms that transforms you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us live to make men free, while God is marching on. Can you just feel the sense of action, the movement, the going forth with Christ as we listen to Jesus and then as we act? See, we need to let our lifestyle show people the radiant face of one who knows Jesus Christ, who has spent time praising Jesus Christ, who has worshiped in his presence, and who is serving him. One who has listened and who is following. Each one of us should act so that other people can believe so that all might be transformed. And they too can be made radiant by the love of Christ. We gather together in this place to worship and to be in Christ's presence. But we cannot just stay here. We need to go and share that love with other people beyond these walls. We can't stay on the mountain. At times we have to go to the valley.